This is John J. Miller of National Review Online. Thanks for listening. Our guest is Thomas Hibbs, author of Arts of Darkness, American Noir, and The Quest for Redemption. Tom, thanks for joining us. What is the dark quest for redemption that you write about in this book?
Well, I was interested in both classic noir films, which start with The Maltese Falcon and Double Indemnity, up through neo-noir films that run from Chinatown, say, up to Batman Begins. And I was interested in one particular segment of those films. Many of them are dark in the sense that they end up being nihilistic and kind of celebrating a sort of amoral world. But there's also a strain of film noir, classic and more contemporary, that focuses upon characters who engage in a kind of quest to recover something. There's a great early noir film called The File on Thelma Jordan, starring Barbara Stanwyck, in which, in the end, she plays a kind of standard femme fatale in the noir canon, but by the end, she actually recovers some ability to express her love for another individual and to speak truthfully about the way in which her life has been disordered. Now, it's at the moment of death that she manages to speak in this way. So any kind of quest for redemption in noir is always sort of tenuous. And the best that we can hope for in these films is not the reestablishment of a complete social order, but the recovery in the characters of some sense of proper orientation, of not losing oneself, as later characters in neo-noir films, such as Insomnia, describe their own quest.
What's your definition of noir?
Well, of course, this is a big topic, and among critics, there's no settled definition of noir. But it involves both, I think, a lot of stylistic elements that we can identify in those early films—a sort of off-center treatment of characters, and usually in cities and worlds that where the sun seems blocked out. It's often raining. An emphasis upon shadows and mystery. And it's often a world where the main characters are dominated by a kind of greed and lust. But in the midst of that world, there's sometimes an attempt, even in a classic defining noir like Double Indemnity, the main character, Jimmy Stewart, is engaging in a kind of sustained voiceover. The whole film is structured that way, where he's attempting, in what he calls a non-confession confession, to sort of come to terms with how his life has ended in the way it has, how the pursuit of money and the giving over of his life into lust has, in a sense, led, as he puts it in a number of places, straight down the line to the cemetery. So there is, even though there's a kind of mechanistic world that seems to lead to destruction, there's often in the quest of the characters, even in that film like Double Indemnity, there's a quest for a kind of intelligibility and for an attempt to sort of come to terms with one's place in this very dark world.
What are some more recent examples of films that try to do this?
Well, I think there, if you take films by a contemporary filmmaker like Christopher Nolan, a lot of his films from Memento through Insomnia to Batman Begins, which I've already mentioned, have neo-noir elements. I think in his films, you do see this recovery of a kind of quest. In Insomnia, the main character wants not to lose his way in the end. In Batman Begins, there's a great recovery of the Batman story as someone who wants in Gotham to recover a kind of justice and defense of the innocent. I think you see in the films of David Lynch, Lost Highway, Blue Velvet, lots of his films, you see an opposite sort of strain of neo-noir, which actually wallows in the sort of unintelligibility of human experience reflected in narratives that you simply can't put together at all. You find noir themes in the Coen Brothers films, from Blood Simple up to No Country for Old Men. And Tarantino's films, are from Reservoir Dogs through Pulp Fiction, are full of noir themes. So it's, in a sense, the noir thematic, both stylistically and in terms of the content and plot, are very much still with us to this day.
Do these convergences of noir style and then the theme of redemption, does that have special appeal for conservatives?
Well, I think in this sense, I mean, noir films are often, in the early days, take a film like The Maltese Falcon, right, where everybody's after this fake bird. that they think is enormously valuable, it ends up being empty. It's fake. And there are certain kinds of Marxist interpretations of that film that this indicates that the sort of barrenness of capitalist desire, which is all about other people desiring stuff that is essentially empty. Now, there's a certain sense in which that's operative in that film, but I think you can also see a conservative element in that film and in other noir films. For instance, in that film, first of all, it's not communist in the sense that it wants to reform. It doesn't have the classic noir films don't have much hope for the radical reform of society at all. Indeed, noir films are all about limits. They're about a kind of common human condition from which no one can escape. So there is a sort of democratic element to classic noir. There's nobody who stands above the common human condition. And this emphasis upon limits, which I think you can find all the way up into many contemporary, at least the non-nihilistic contemporary neo-noir, is a kind of conservative insight. To go to violate the limits, to give oneself over to lust, to greed, inevitably leads to destruction. So noir films have a kind of conservative structure to them in the sense that they stress limits and they stress the reestablishment of a, albeit limited, but a certain kind of order. And I think in certain strains, you can go back to some of Hitchcock's films, some of Orson Welles' early films that are in the noir canon, The Third Man, I Confess, The Wrong Man. These films, which are on the edge of the noir genre, also present characters who are engaged in a kind of spiritual quest. And in these films, you see characters who try to recover some sense of a proper orientation for human life, and where the quest in the end is presented not as something that ought to be mocked and made sport of, but as something that's noble, that's proper to human beings to seek, even in spite of the apparent failure to achieve them, to seek for truth, to seek for happiness, to seek for love.
I've often thought that horror is a conservative genre in some very central ways. What's your opinion?
Well, I think that's right, and there's a lot of overlap between noir films and horror films. I mean, one of the contemporary mover makers I spent a lot of time talking about is M. Night Shyamalan, whose films overlap both with noir and with classic horror. He kind of returns us to suspense in horror and dispenses with the grotesque display of the aesthetics of evil that have become so popular in the horror genre. And I think in his films and in other classic horror films, what you see is a sense that the modern, very liberal, very enlightenment project of attempting to control and manipulate nature and then by implication to control and manipulate human society through vast projects of social engineering, that these backfire on human beings, that we can't control the future, we can't control nature, we can't control chance in the way so much of the modern project urges us to do. And in that backfiring, we recover a sense of the priority of nature. We recover a sense of human limits. And there is, I think, in that recovery, there are deeply conservative insights.
When conservatives look at pop culture, a lot of them see nothing but shallowness and rot. And yet you see something deeper. Is that because a lot of conservatives just aren't looking hard enough?
Well, I think there's certainly a lot of shallowness and rot in popular culture. But I think that especially in the last 10 years or so, audiences, I mean, if you look at the most popular films, the top five over the last 6 or 7 years or so, you're going to see the recurrence of certain kinds of films, Lord of the Rings films, Harry Potter films, Spider-Man films. You're going to see the recurrence of films that show a kind of complex view of human nature that are not nihilistic films. And so I think Hollywood is coming around because in the end, Hollywood is as much about money as it is about anything, even though it won't admit that, that in the end, audience appetite in America for something more, for adult complex models, for stories of heroism, for stories of quest, these are making a kind of return in contemporary culture. And so I think mixed in with, it's a big culture, Hollywood's thankfully a more complex thing than it was, I think, in the 80s and 90s. And I think we see in there Hollywood trying to feed this American desire for something more than a kind of dogmatic liberalism or an empty nihilism.
You review movies for National Review Online. We've only got a few seconds left here. But what's one movie that every conservative should see?
Well, let me give you two quickly. And from the classic period, I would say Casablanca, a film that overlaps a lot with noir themes, but which overcomes them because Rick finds and recovers a sense of mission and duty and sacrifice. The other one I would mention here is The Miracle Worker, the story of Helen Keller, which is all about the wonderful and very difficult vocation of teaching.
The author is Thomas S. Hibbs. The book is Arts of Darkness, American Noir, and the Quest for Redemption. Thanks for listening.